Okay, Mishnah Gimel. Ve'ilu kosanim ha'moed. These are the things that you're allowed to write on Chol HaMoed, mostly because there is a loss at stake. They are a davar ha'aved. So Mishnah says, you're allowed to write what? Kiddushin Nashim. You're allowed to write documents that are associated with being Mekadosh a girl, with being Mekadosh a girl for her to become your wife. Alternatively, these can be documents that are associated with the Kiddushin, such as the documents for Shidduchim or for Tanaim, the arrangements that they make in between the families. You're allowed to write up Gittin. You're allowed to write divorce documents if we're nervous that the husband is about to go far away and the girl is going to be stuck without a get and not able to get remarried. The Shovarin, you're allowed to write up receipts. If, for example, Reuven borrows money from Shimon, and Reuven finally scrapes together the cash to be able to pay back the chov, Reuven says, look, I'm happy to pay back the chov. I finally got in the money, but I want to be able to prove that I paid it up. I want a receipt. I want a shovar. So we say that, look, we're nervous that Reuven is not so good with money, and we're nervous that he's not going to have the money later when we're actually able to write up any document. So there's a heter to write up that shovar. There's a heter to write up that receipt. You're allowed to write up daitiki. Daitiki is a Greek word. It refers to the tzava'a of a shchivmerau. A shchivmerau is a person on his deathbed, and Chazal give halachic power to the word of a shchivmerau, that the word of a shchivmerau, as far as we're concerned, it's as though it's written up. So we would like to document, though, what he says. And so we have a heter to write down the tzava'a, the orders that a person on his deathbed makes. Matana, you're allowed to write up a matana. If somebody's feeling really generous one day and he says, I'm happy to give you $100,000, and you say, well, I'd like to get that in writing because we're nervous that he's going to back out from giving that generous gift. So you're allowed to write up a matana. Upruzbulin, you're allowed to write up a prusbul. What's a prusbul? A prusbul is that when we want to encourage people to lend money to others. We don't want people to feel discouraged from lending money. And one of the things that might discourage people is if they know that if they lend somebody money shortly before Shemitah, they know that Shemitah is going to release their chov. It's going to excuse the debt. So they're not going to bother lending money in the first place. So a prusbul was a takana that was made that allows the malva, the person lending the money, to transfer the chov to be under the auspices of Beis Din. And Shemitah doesn't apply to Beis Din. Shemitah doesn't excuse chovos that are assumed by Beis Din. So that's the prosbul. So you're allowed to write up a prosbul on Chol HaMoed. Why are you allowed to write up on Chol HaMoed? Why can't you do it later? Because we're nervous that you're not going to find, that this malva is not going to find a good Beis Din to get hold of that can handle dealing with prosbuls. Okay, igros shum, you're allowed to write up an igros shum. Igros are literally letters of shum evaluation, meaning to say that the Beis Din would write up evaluations of a loves property, the person who borrows money. We need documentation of how much his property is worth for the malva to be able to collect for the loan if the lova defaults on the loan. The igros mazon, you're allowed to write up letters, literally, of mazon, of sustenance. And what that means is documents for support. Who's supporting what? So there's two possibilities of what we're talking about over here. One is that when a man gets married, he writes up a ksuba. The ksuba is something that gives a woman and her daughters, for that matter, a right to the husband's estate if he dies or if they get divorced. And so in this case, Bezin would have to write up a document that's basically assessing the assets, giving the woman, selling those assets in order to feed the wife or her daughters. Alternatively, the Igros Mazon can refer to a case where Reuven gets married to Rachel, but Rachel was previously married and she comes into the marriage now with a daughter. So she's not willing to get married unless Reuven is going to support her, daughter as well. It's going to support his new stepdaughter. So that documentation where he is accepting upon himself to support his stepdaughter, we write up a document as proof. And so that document is called the Igros Mazon. It's called the documentation for support. Shtar Chalitza are documents for Chalitza. We know that Yibam is when Reuven and Rachel get married, and Reuven Nebuch dies without having any children. So Reuven's brother Shimon has a mitzvah to do Yibam, to get married to Rachel, to continue the legacy of Reuven. However, if Shimon doesn't want to get married to her, he can do Chalitza. He can essentially refuse to go through with the Yibam, but they have to do the Chalitza process. That's where you take off the shoe, etc. But there needs to be proof that Chalitza was done. And so we write up in a document that chalitza was performed in the presence of this bezdin. So that's the shtar chalitza umeunim. You're allowed to write up meunim. Literally, meunim means refusals. What kind of refusals are we talking about? We're talking about a girl. Literally, normally, a father is able to marry off his daughter when she is a katana, before she is a gdola. He has the right, he has the ability, midaraisa, on a biblical level, to marry her off, and effect a kedushin on a level daraisa. However, if the father's out of the picture, let's say the father died, so now Chazal, the Rabbanan, gave that right to marry off the daughter to the mother or to her brothers. And so they will be the ones marrying her off. But that marriage is only a level darabanan. That level darabanan marriage crystallizes into a daraisa level, into a biblical marriage, as soon as the girl becomes a gadol and she's still married to this fellow. So, but the girl, up until she actually becomes a gadola, she has the ability to do what's called mayan. She's able to refuse the marriage, to undo that marriage that her mother and that her brothers, or that her brothers put in place. And so we want documentation that that's what happened. So we will write up a shtar that reflects that the mayan occurred. Now, why would we have to do this immediately? Because we're nervous that if we wait too long to write it up, then she's going to become a gadola. That'll crystallize the marriage and complicate things. Okay, ushtar berurin, those are documents for selection. What selection are we talking about? We're talking about when you have two litigants who are in a fight, and so they need to go to court. So we say that each of them can choose one dayan. They can choose one judge. So each person chooses one judge, and then the two judges get together and they choose a third judge. And then it's the three judges together that are going to take care of the case. And so we write up a document that basically locks in the litigants that they are submitting themselves to comply with whatever verdict is reached by this bezdin. Ugezeros bezdin, you're allowed to write up decrees of court. What that means is you're essentially allowed to write up verdicts of court, because if you don't write them now, we're nervous that it's going to be forgotten later. And veigros shorushos, you're allowed to write up letters or documents of rushos. Now there's two versions of what this word is. It's either rushos or it's rishos. Rushos would be of the government, that you would write up letters that are being sent to the government on behalf of the Jewish community. The alternative would be, it would be igros shel rishos, which would be of permission. In other words, permitted letters, meaning to say, greet letters that are for salutation, for greeting, in which you are greeting one of just basic correspondence. Okay, so that's the Mishnah Gimel. So just to speak up briefly, what we mentioned over here, we said that there are a number of things that you're allowed to write up on Chol Hamoed because there is a loss at stake. Among the things that we said that you're allowed to write up are documents associated with Kiddushin, Gittin. You're allowed to write up receipts for a debt. You're allowed to write up the daitiki, which is the tava, the orders of a shechiv merah, a person on their deathbed. You're allowed to write up a matana, a gift. You're allowed to write up a prosbul, that's the malva handing over his debts to the court, so that Shemitah doesn't excuse the chov. You're allowed to write up igros shum, those are the letters of evaluation, evaluating the documents of evaluation, evaluating the property of the lova, of a person who owes money. Igros mazun, those are the documents in which a man is giving support to his wife and daughters, or to his stepdaughter. You're allowed to write up shtar chalitza, the documents associated with chalitza. You're allowed to write up the documents that reflect that mian occurred, that the refusal of the young girl before she turns 12, when she's undoing the marriage that was initiated by her mother or by her brothers. You're allowed to write up the documents for Beirurin, for when you have two litigants submitting to a specific panel of judges. And you're allowed to write up the verdicts of a court, and the igros shorashush, which would either be letters being sent to the government, or that would be letters of correspondence between two people.